You would open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 we'll be going through. If you have a Bible app, use that as well. Before we continue, I just wanted to mention, I was made aware that today is, would have been Louie and Rosemary's 50th anniversary. Where are you, Rosie? There you are. We just want to say we love you. We're with you, and you've got your family here. It's just, Louie was a special friend to a lot of us, certainly to me. He was my guitar guy. We talked every time. He'd always ask. He'd mention some things. For those of you who may not know, Louie passed away in October of 2018 after a rough battle in cancer. He's with the Lord. Amen for that. And we are constantly blessed by the Comanya family. So God bless you. Just want to give them some love. The second thing is to be very candid with you, and I only do this. Oftentimes we'll have some slip-ups on a Sunday, and we won't mention, okay, this happens. We don't want to make you think, wow, they don't have this place together. I'm only going to mention this simply because you're going to need to have special focus this morning for what the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. Pastor Greg this morning woke up and discovered that he is really sick. He was actually going to be preaching this message. And he has missed, that I can recall, and I've been here since 1999. I can recall three times that this has happened where Pastor Greg was unable to preach on a Sunday. I remember him sitting on a stool here several times, just talking in as much a voice as he could. That's about the best he could pull off. So you know today he's hurting. So if you would just, I don't know if he's watching, bro, we love you. Just be praying for him, because he's struggling right now. So just be in prayer for him. And that's just an invitation for you that I'm going to do my best with some of his notes as well as what God speaks to me through his Holy Spirit. If any of it's good, we'll give God praise. If it's bad, it's certainly for me. I'll take all the blame for it. And I'm just explaining this too for anyone who's new. I'll have much more practice time in the future. So if you hear a pregnant pause every now and then, there's good reason for it. but okay. So, but as Steve mentioned, in 2005, I went to a worship conference. Oddly enough, that was they had a great small group program. In that program, I got a chance to look at their booklet and their philosophy. And in 2007, we ended up borrowing a lot from what they did, and we've changed it significantly since then. But in 2007, we birthed what was known as Groups in Common. Prior to that time, they were called PC groups, prayer and care groups. And the prayer and care groups were good, but there just wasn't a whole lot of organization. I think we had maybe six groups at the time. And now we've expanded this a ton. And it has nothing to do with the way we've run it. We're going to speak to today. This is God's heart. We are intended to connect with each other through these groups. Okay, we have our Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 11. This is about the heroes of faith. For those of you, the writer of Hebrews is discussing, he brings up Abraham, Moses, Noah, David, and goes over all of their, in maybe a sentence or two, their accomplishments in their faith. But one of the lines that's interesting in verse 39 through 40, and it says this: "These of the people I just spoke to were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." And you can read that, and it's easy to just, all right, I'm made perfect, I'll move on to the next verse. It's interesting, though, that for some of them, their promise ultimately never came while they were there on earth. And it's still, the perfection of what they've done is still waiting until the last soul is won and Jesus returns. What this means is there's every intention that God had in creating our faith and having us live out this faith was in the construct, in the relationship of a family, of a group. Heaven is not for the individual. And I think this is a very important point because it's something that we in this church, and particularly in the United States, struggle with. We have an easy time identifying with ourselves. We talk about our personal faith in Jesus. We talk about our personal time with the Lord. We get in our personal car, we go to our personal home, and we shut the personal garage door, and we're done. And we can watch YouTube or Netflix. It's difficult. We're in an area, too, where it's hard. It's hard to have a connection with people. If you look at the example that we've been given in terms of how we should relate to each other, it's found in Acts chapter 2, where they met with each other daily. They had a time where they would eat. They would connect with each other. That right there is our model. And we've gotten to the point now, for some, it's not even church once a week. It's church once a month, maybe, if I'm not bothered. And I don't say this to condemn you. I just say this is the reality of where we are at. And it's wrong. And this is the part where we're going to correct some of that, at least in our thinking of how we are to live together. Because there was something that God did and it was spoken in these verses, that the faith, their faith of those heroes and our faith would come together in unity as a family. One of the things that we've gone through probably in, I would say maybe it was 5 or 6 years ago, we completed this. We spent about 6 to 7 years as a church staff and leadership of really trying to distill all of what we would call, if we were to ask the question, what is a mature believer? And we started thinking, okay, how would we define that? How would we know, okay, this person is a mature believer? And so we looked up all of the references in God's Word and in commentaries and really tried to understand and boil things down to a bunch of different line items that we have, which is kind of our constitution. Of that, there were these four fairly significant markers. The first of which, and that you're familiar with, and these are our lifer markers, the first of which is identity, who we are. So this is something where God has spoken into our lives. He has created us, and we have an identity in God. The second is family, who we're with. And this is another key item. The body of Christ was very intentional, and it's messy, and it is a playground for us to fail, to get built up, to try again, to connect. Purpose is the third marker, what we do. And this is, we're not here to just have a good job, to have a good time, go to some concerts, and go to church on a Sunday, check that box. There is something much more significant that God has put in our path. And then finally, sacrifice. What are we willing to pay? And you'll find in one of the scriptures we're going to read today in John that sacrifice is a tough one. And this is the one that tends to separate the mature from everyone else. So, focusing a bit today, obviously this is about groups in common, I want to just focus a little bit on family. This is a tough one because how many of you are introverts like me? Holy moly, really? Put your hands up there. I'm actually very curious. Wow, that's like most of you. How many of you are extroverts? Oh man, okay. It's probably 2/3 introverts. 1/3 extroverts. Okay, that says a lot. Now I understand. Wow. I'm with you. Whenever there's a discussion or if your heart, here's how you will know, and there's many other ways. This is my version. If you're an introvert, when we say it's now time to welcome each other and say hello to one another, if you're like, oh my gosh, I've got to go to the bathroom just to get out of this terror, meaning you'll walk back there and avoid, not in your pew or in your seat, but If it brings terror, you're probably an introvert. And so this whole concept of family is a tough one. This is an area of sacrifice for you. Because the reality is there are going to be some people in this church, in maybe your small group, if you're in one, that you probably don't like. It's truth, yeah? And there are some people, and it's certainly not you, who are kind of annoying. Right? But there is no other mechanism God made for us to demonstrate the gifts of the Spirit, the spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit specifically. There is no other way to do it, because the only reason you have to have patience, you have to have love, you have to have gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, is when you're faced with a schmuck. Right? It's in those times when you know, do you really believe what you believe? And so that's why, many other reasons, but that's one of the main reasons why we need to be together. Because it is, there's every intention from the Lord for us to demonstrate the gifts of the Spirit, who we are, who we know to be, who we know we are in our faith, is in that confines, and how we demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in the group set, in a group sense. So I want to share just a little bit about, we're going to go into John chapter 6 briefly, so if you've got the marker on Hebrews chapter 11, if you can move to John chapter 6 specifically, verse 66, we'll start there. Before I get to it, what happened up to this time is Jesus had already turned water into wine. He performed great miracles. He amazed the crowd with signs and wonders. He fed the 5,000 men, is what it says. So you know that's probably at least 15,000 people or more. He walked on water. He was, the term I like to use, is a celestial Santa Claus at this point. He was just awesome. And you're watching this, and you're like God LeBron James. You could do no wrong. It's awesome. And I say that in a particular way, and for a good reason. Because up to that point, people were following him because of all the things he was doing. And if we read through John chapter 6, it says this. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Which brings me to my first point, that small group love stays when the crowd goes away. So up to this time, it says, there were many, and I would say most of the disciples were with him. But what had happened was, he gave them a little bit of confusing, something that was confusing that they didn't like. Some of you may remember, he says, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Which, I get it. I'd be like, huh? And his disciples were like, huh? Now, the difference was, his disciples had the chance, because they stayed with him, to ask the question, what are you talking about? That makes no sense. And Jesus was able to explain it to them. But for the others, were like, you know what? You're a wackadoo. And they left. They said, which is amazing to me. They had to have known all of these things that he had done, and yet they still said, he's just weird. And it was an interesting time back then. They understood spiritual concepts, and they understood that there were dark spirits and gods, or angels, demons. They understood this concept. It was a very spiritualized time. But the reality is, they watched this individual, and they still left. They said, nope, I don't want any part of it. And so Jesus asked, are you going to leave me too? Where are we going to go? Peter says. You have the words of eternal life. And don't think of crowd in these verses as a large group. Think of it as church. Let's keep it in the confines of church. Because I think that will help us understand this passage a bit better. Because people in the crowd in church come and go. You stay, and your small group stays with you. So if you are in a small group, and I've been at this church, as I said before, since 1999. In 2004, I started leading worship. And a few years later, began more of a pastoral role in addition to what I was doing. And I've seen a lot of people come and go. In 98 to 9% that do come and go without the blessing, meaning for some they have to move away and go, and it is that is what it is. For others who have left, it's because of this concept of feeling not connected to anyone. And I get it. This is where what I said before about 5 minutes ago of some of us are jerks. And I'll be honest, all of you at one point is a jerk. I am. And if you're looking at us to be heroes, you're misguided. But this is the beauty of the church. We've got to understand that sometimes small groups, the people there, we have to press forward and connect ourselves with small groups. And the reason why is Satan's every effort is to separate you from the herd. To get you on your own, to get you feeling you're all alone, you've got no one to pray for you, no one to be with you, no one to understand what you're going through. And that's because you've been fed the lie that you can do it on your own. Jesus asks, are you going to leave me too? Point number two is small group love is based on relationship, not on self-interests. The crowd that followed Jesus because of the miracles he was doing, not because of anything else. They were connecting with him because he gave them stuff. And he even says, he explains that you didn't follow me because of me, it's because I fed you. A lot of people after the feeding of the 5,000 were connected with them because Jesus fed him some good food. The work is to believe. Again, they're asking for another sign. What other miracle will you do? And this is why it's hard. It's hard when you read Scripture and you hear what Jesus say, or God will say at times, there is nothing I could have done. There is no miracle that I could have shown you that would make you believe. And for us right now, it's probably you're like, wait, no way. If I saw that, there's no way I would disagree that he is the Son of God. But I assure you, we would. Or at least that would be our temptation to do so. Prove yourself. You can never please the crowd when it's always about me. They were looking for how can I be served? How can I receive from you? And that happens a lot too in the church, and I get it. There's a lot of hurt and a lot of brokenness in this area. And a lot of it comes from the fact that we work jobs that are hard. And this area in particular is focused around making your millions and then getting out of here as quickly as possible. And it's tough. This is a very tough area for a believer to be in. Because every time you go to work, the expectation is you work a lot of hours, you make a lot of money, and that's all people know how to talk to. I knew of a fellow who, years ago, in a previous company, he had a Ferrari for every day of the week. Yeah, and that's not a joke. Literally, had a Ferrari for every day of the week. He had created new companies. He was massively wealthy. Massively in touch with the community, with the kind of the brain trust of the Silicon Valley. But he was divorced twice, and in his, it would have been later 50s, early 60s, he had no one to share any of that with. See, it's a lie that we can do all these things, that we can be who we want to be, and then at some point, whoops, switch back. At that time, Satan says, I gotcha. You got no one left. Now, there is grace even in those moments. And then God can do a mighty thing, for sure. But be very careful, because the wisdom you're going to hear in the Silicon Valley is not going to be what you hear in God's Word. Right? And just one point before we move on to the third point, or one thing I wanted to mention is the scripture of trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean on your understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, He'll make your path straight. It's a great verse. Proverbs 3, 4, and 5, is that right? 5, was it? 3, 5, and 6? Okay. Proverbs 3 something. It's easy to read it and then say, okay, good, this is easy. I got this. The reality is, the path, that straight path, is perfectly straight for God. If you're like me, it's still like, what? I don't see a thing, God. And that was God's intention. If you look in the Old Testament, when God was taking the nation of Israel and moving them out of Egypt, his version of making their path straight was that they wake up and they look and see if the clouds, that cloud that was in front of them was still there. Or is it moving? And if it was moving, okay, guys, let's go. We're moving. And you had no idea where it was going. And then it would sit. Or that pillar of fire at night. That was God's way of directing your path. So I promise you, even when we are trusting in the Lord, it's going to look a little foggy. And I bring this up just because sometimes, at least for me, I've struggled with that whole concept of, man, I'm trying to trust in you, Lord. I'm trying to connect with these people in this group. I just don't get it. Sometimes that's okay. You're not necessarily meant to get it all the time. You're just meant to trust. So the third point is, small group love gives you the opportunity to work out theological confusion. Because in this small group, someone else can say, hey, Sean, I have been going through the same thing, and here's what God told me, or here's what I read in Scripture. And then I can go, oh, thank goodness, I'm not the only one that's wondering why I can't figure my life out, right? But if you're on your own, your thought is, I'm the only one going through this, right? I'm the only one that's dealing with this right now. Why is that? And that's what Satan loves to tell us. He loves to completely separate us. And so this is exactly what happened with the people who got confused with what Jesus was saying. And the 12, they didn't understand what he was saying either. They were just as confused. But they made the decision to stay. They knew there was something to it. There was something to it. And because they stayed, they were rewarded with Jesus eventually giving them what he was saying and what he meant. And at that time, it was, oh, that makes perfect sense. So we need that intimacy. We need the intimacy with, and sometimes it's just a decision that, okay, God, I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to trust in you that these people in this small group are my brothers and sisters, and we're all going to read God's word, and Lord, you're going to teach me in your time what some of my confusion is, and you'll help clarify. Because the reality is, right now, in this church setting, there is no way we could go through a question and answer, hey, how is your day going? And start having a conversation, and someone said, well, I'm really struggling, go. And church would be like 7-8 hours. And we would have probably 3 people here next week. It cannot happen here. And it was never intended to. This concept of kind of the gathering is new. And the reason is, it's fantastic for us to kind of go where we're at. You know, if we were a local church and it was a small town where we work with each other, we went to church together, our kids went to school together, we saw each other at, you know, the fun thing to do on the weekend, wouldn't that be cool / weird for all the introverts? too many people. But we don't have that luxury. Right, it's my constant frustration. I work at Google in Sunnyvale. I attend church in Cupertino. My kids go to school in Campbell. I have friends all these different groups. How do we connect? Well, it's great. We get to have an opportunity to do it on a Sunday, all of us together. But the only way that we have an ability to grow deeply is in a small group, and that was every intention from God. Which brings me to point four. Small group love gives you opportunity to develop deep friendships. There's a difference between this crowd, this church, and friends. There's things you can say in a small group that it would be inappropriate to say here. You know, I'm struggling with porn. You know, that'd be like, I probably don't want to bring that up in this setting. But you can in a small group. And, you know, the reality is some of us, maybe we've had a rough time. And maybe the groups have been less than satisfactory to your opinion. This is where we got to trust in God. Maybe there is another group for you, or maybe you've got to press in that one. But I've just got to caution you, in no way in Scripture does it say, if I'm dissatisfied with this church, and let me clarify, if we start sacrificing like to idols here, I'd leave. It's a good time. Good time to go. But we're not, and we have no intention to. We're doing our best to allow the Holy Spirit lead us. And so we're trying to lead in truth and in God's Spirit. Because of that, there really is no okay to say, I'm just going to go to another church. Because I promise you, your issue is not with us, it's you. And I say that with as much love as I possibly can. I feel it. I get it. There are Sundays where I'm like, ugh, these people. And you're thinking, ugh, Sean. I get it. But sticking with it is key, because I get to understand later on that night, God will tell me, you, sir, are way too proud. And you're wrong. And if we don't stick with it, we don't have the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives and say, no, you're wrong. Because remember, our fourth marker was sacrifice. We've got to be able to sacrifice for each other. God, I know that this group is a struggle. Or these people are a struggle. But that's why you bring it up to leadership. Maybe there is someone who's doing something funky. Let's figure this out. But in the confines of this family. Because we are in this together. There's always the tendency to leave. Jesus asked, are you going to leave too? You will have every opportunity to do so. And I'm not going to ask for how many hands are in a small group. I know there's a lot. There's a good number. For those of you who would say you're too busy for a small group, just be careful. I get to speak from a perspective that other pastors can't. I work a secular job at a pretty demanding company. But I'm also well aware that secular job isn't why God has me here. I'm here so that through that secular job, people can, or through the Holy Spirit in that secular job, people can see who God is. But that can only happen as I'm being built up with my brothers, with my sisters in small groups. Okay? If it's Sunday to Sunday. So my recommendation is, without going into it, and I get it, there are some big whopper stories that we've gotten ourselves into as to you're working 90 hours a week. And okay, well, let's deal with those one by one. But I just want to encourage you, in general, put Christ Church first. And I'm saying all of this because it will save you from a lot of headache and a lot of burden down the road in doing so. All right. Pastor Sean, hurry up and close. Here we go. I came up with that. I totally did. You know, the hilarity of it, I was looking at the slides when I was going through this, and I never even noticed that. Aww. Let me take this thing home. Let me land this plane. I hope you're hearing my heart. For some of you who are hearing condemnation and blah, 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 he's being mean about me because I'm not going to a group, have patience with me. Just hear what I'm trying to say to you. I've seen it happen time and time again, and it will continue to happen. Those who are coming, you'll start getting the feeling of disconnection. You'll feel you're not really that a part of something. You'll eventually want to go to another church. And I promise, with that same attitude, it's going to happen again at that other church 10 years later, 5 years later, whatever it takes. Because we don't like letting God take the lead. We just don't. And some of that means we've got to love our brothers and sisters, even when we're not feeling it. And I just want to invite you, if you feel that you're not worthy of a small group, that right there is a lie from the pit of hell. You certainly are. Every one of us, as we sang about this morning, is worthless. But he loved us. And then we get an opportunity together to figure this whole thing out of faith and what it means to grow. And then we get an opportunity to challenge each other. Say, hey, what have you been up to this week? You asked me to pray. I was praying for you. How are you doing there? Get into each other's business as long as people are allowing you to. And so we have all these groups here, and you have an opportunity in a few moments to come and take a look at what group might fit you. We've intentionally done that just so that maybe there's a common interest or a common passion you might have. But if we were in the podunk town where there's no one else around, if we just had one group and it was about numbers, the book of numbers, we would still expect you to be there just because this is what we do. We're a family, right? We would never do that. That would be terrible. Genealogy number 4, let's do it. I say that we've tried to make it as possible to come and just find something that you connect with. If you don't, again, the invitation is maybe you can lead a group next time and have a group that is of an interest of yours, but we're here to go deeper. Does that make sense? Okay, did everyone hear from the Holy Spirit and not from me? You heard from me, but did you get the message from the Holy Spirit? Raise a hand. Okay, thank God. I'm not asking for applause. I don't know where I was going, but I hope that you can hear my heart. There's stories to be told of this, but not that I don't trust Pastor Greg's notes. But he knows where he's headed with it. And I tend to ramble a lot as I'm doing right now. I just want you to understand my heart for small groups is that each one of you would find that connection. Find an opportunity just to connect with somebody. And, you know, talk with Steve Cox and Andy Brown. Steve was up here previously. Andy, where are you? There he is over there. These gentlemen head up the groups in common. So maybe if you would like some insight about some of the groups or that you can't speak to the individuals here about, talk to them. Okay, let's pray. And as I pray, we're going to close the service. But please don't leave. We've asked the ushers to lock this place down for the next 10 to 15 minutes. But just go and take a look around. Maybe you're already in a small group. That's great. Have a good time connecting with people. But as I start praying, leaders, if you'd kind of go over and get ready to be in front of your groups or the signs at these tables so that you can be good hosts. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, for the gift of your church, your bride, the body of Christ. God, that we are wretched, we are annoying, we're rude, but we're also worth loving because you said we are. And so, Father, I pray that we would choose today to put others first and that we would give grace and mercy in individuals. But, Lord, we would make a decision for those, God, who are comfortable with and are participating in small groups. I pray these groups would grow in your knowledge, grow in your truth. For others who are feeling like they're on the outside, I pray, God, for a Holy Spirit courage that they would make the decision today to connect with groups so that they can be part of this growing of your people. That God, ultimately, and down the road, that the faith and what has the individuals who have gone before us that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11, that all of what they had done would be made perfect And all of what we're doing will be made perfect, Jesus, when you return. Until then, I pray, help us, God, just to encourage each other, to love each other, and to connect as a group. And everyone said, amen. Amen. If you take right now the time to go say hello to somebody in a group.